I would invite you, if you will, to take your Bibles and turn with me, please, to the book of Judges. Turn with me, please, to the book of Judges. The text I'm going to read is in chapter number 17 and in verse number 6. I'm going to read one verse for the sake of time for the text. I don't imagine I'll get finished with this message today, but I do know this, it's in my heart. I was coming home from Johnson City with my wife yesterday, and some men wouldn't admit this or they wouldn't confess to you what I'm about to confess, but I said to my wife, we were making a visit at the VA, I said, honey, I have no idea what the Lord wants for the service in the morning. And my wife said to me, you will. I appreciated that. I no sooner got home and God put a verse of scripture on my heart. That verse is found, let's turn there, in the book of Judges, chapter number 21 and verse number 25. God put this verse of scripture on my heart. I didn't have my Bible open. I was just meditating on the service, on you all, my precious people, and asking God what His mind for the service was. In verse 25 of chapter number 21, the Bible said, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. As I preach this morning, I'm going to read another verse. But as I preach this morning, I want to ask you if this reminds you of anything that we're living through today. And I begin to get this thought on my mind. When every man does that which is right in his own eyes. Brother Grizzle, I see you nodding your head, brother. I appreciate your prayers. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. So I went back in the scripture to chapter 17 after the death of Samson. And I just began to examine what's going on in a generation where every man is doing that which is right in his own eyes. And to my amazement, I only got down to verse 6. And the Bible said, in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Brother Chris, I knew about the last verse in Judges. I didn't know it was recorded again right there. I really didn't. And I'm telling you, God just crushed my spirit with a burden for what I'm going to share with you today. Father in heaven, I thank you for the people that are gathered in this room, for those, our Lord, that are at home and not feeling well, Sister Jean especially. God, she loves church. She loves your people. She loves this pastor. And God, I pray that you'll visit with those that maybe, Lord, by way of internet, will listen later. Brother Charlie and Sister Wanda, folks, Lord, that love you. God, I pray you'll just speak to our hearts that are here, to those that will hear later. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. When every man does that which is right in his own eyes. The Bible would say of the kings of Israel when they're introduced, one of two things. Either that king did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, or that king did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. In the book of Judges, we're told that we're living through a period of time, examining that period of time, when every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Go back with me, if you will, please, to Judges chapter number 2 for just a moment. I'm going to take my time with this message because it needs to sink in. It really does. The Bible said in verse 18 of chapter 2 of Judges, "And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented the Lord, or the Lord would change his mind because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them." Then look at verse 19. "And it came to pass when the judge was dead that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following after gods to serve them and to bow down unto them. They ceased not from their own doings nor from their stubborn way." So if you study the book of Judges, God would raise up a judge. The people would turn once again to the Lord. The judge would die, and the people would turn away from the Lord and turn back to the evil doings. And watch this, if you read it right there, the Bible said more than their fathers. It just kept getting worse and worse and worse. I don't know about you, but I believe you'd have to be a fool to say that this world is getting better and better and better. It's getting worse and worse and worse every day that we live. The introduction here, Judges takes a period of 305 years. And I'm reading now in the introduction from Scofield, and something that stood out in my mind, there's two things that stand out in the book of Judges. Number one, the utter failure of Israel, how they failed the Lord. But I like this, Brother Jason, the persistent grace of Jehovah. You know why I'm here today in the middle of this mess? I have joy in my heart, a home in heaven, because of the grace of God. Amen. God has a remnant of people. Amen. Right in the middle of this mess we live in this world. And I'll remind you of something. And if you'll examine your life, you'll agree with me. Right now, it's what's going on in the cities is coming to the country. You remember, beloved, when sodomy first became prevalent? It was on the coast. Now it's everywhere. Asheville's one of the capitals of it. Amen. What's going on in the city today? You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, they're blocking traffic. Amen. And they're chanting death to Israel, death to America. They're burning the American flag. I looked over at the cemetery, Brother Junior, yesterday when I was on the property of the VA, and I told my wife, I said, honey, these men would ask the question, is this what we died for? They died so that we could have liberty, but not liberty to do what's being done today, amen, in America. And so I want to just take my time, but there's something here that caught my attention. And if you have a Scofield Bible, you'll see it. If you don't, that's okay. And I'm not making a whole lot out of this, but it needs to be mentioned. In chapter number 17, the heading for the chapter, and I'd encourage you to read from chapter 17 to the end of the book this afternoon. And beloved, you'll stay with us, amen, in the message. Confusion, civil and religious. Chapter 18. Confusion, civil and religious, and the Danite invasion. Chapter 19, confusion, civil and religious, the Levite and his concubine. Chapter 20, confusion, civil and religious, there's a civil war. In chapter 21, confusion, civil and religious, the mourning for a lost tribe. Now you say, Pastor, why would you even bring that up? Because the first word I want to bring to your attention today is the word confusion. We're living in a world where boys don't know if they're boys and girls don't know if they're girls. we're living in a world where we've got elite colleges protesting. They're anti-Semites. That's what they are. Amen. They're against Israel. And by the way, it ought to come to our attention that that number in America is swiftly growing. Those that are standing against God's people, Israel. God still means it when he said, I'll bless them that bless thee, and I'll curse them that curse thee. I tell you, Brother Chris, I appreciated you praying for Israel. We need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Amen. That's what the Bible in the book of Psalms tells us to do. On some of these elite college campuses, they've got people, and they're hiding behind masks. You want to know why? Because they know they'll never get a job if somebody knows who they are. And they're saying things like this, we are Hamas. Did you hear what I just said? We are Hamas. And they don't understand, beloved, that where Hamas is in control in Palestine, beloved, if you're a Sodomite, you die. Amen? You're persecuted. They don't understand that Hamas didn't just come into Israel and kill people, but they raped and tortured people and got it on video and proud of it, sending the video back to their mom. I killed an Israeli. I raped an Israeli woman. I want you to know something, beloved. There's confusion in the land. And one of the things that happens when every man does that which is right in his own eyes, it just creates mass confusion. May I say something to you? The devil is the author of confusion. Amen. I'm glad this morning I'm not mixed up about a boy and a girl. I got a book. Male and female created he them. I'm not mixed up about marriage. God put a man and a woman together. Somebody help me this morning. Amen. I'm not mixed up about drinking. I'm not mixed up about drugs. I'm not mixed up, beloved, about thieving and stealing and what's going on in this world. I'm not mixed up about it because I have a book. Amen. This book tells us what's right and what's wrong. It's not me doing what's right in mine own eyes, but reading a book, studying a book, and trying by the grace of God to be taught of that book how to do those things which are pleasing unto the Lord. And so as we begin to examine the Scripture, there's confusion. Look with me at chapter 17 this morning, and let's just start and go down through here. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, we've got in our cities now these district attorneys that were bought and paid for by George Soros. And so, beloved, you can come in illegally, commit crime, you'll be put right back on the street, commit some more crime, you'll be put right back on the street, and somebody ends up dying over it. Amen. I'm telling you, it's pitiful what's going on when every man does that which is right in his own eyes. If we look at chapter 17 and verse number 1, there was a man of Mount Ephraim whose name was Micah. And the Bible said, and he said unto his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about which thou cursest, that says a lot about mama, and spakest of also in thine ears, behold, the silver is with me, I took it. And the mother said, blessed be thou the Lord, my son. Are you talking about mixed up people? When you're doing what's right in your own eyes, beloved, you know what's happening right here? He has stolen from his mother. Did you understand, beloved? Listen, I'm not making little of this. I'm making much of this. Beloved, it is a crying shame when they're supposedly for the poor people in a neighborhood, and they can't even have a Walgreens, amen, because they're going in there and stealing. Stealing is one of the evidences of people that are doing that which is right in their own eyes. Stealing in the department stores, and you go in there and you can't buy a tube of toothpaste at a Walgreens without somebody getting a lock, a key, and unlocking a cabinet and sliding the door back. You say, Pastor, that has nothing to do with us. It will if we don't wake up. We need to understand, beloved, that it's not time to do that which is right in our own eyes. It's time to seek the Lord and do that which is right in the eyes of God. Amen. Beloved, he's stealing from his mother. And then I see here something else when people are doing that which is right in their own eyes. There's the failure of the mother to correct the son. One of my favorite news clips of all time. I was watching the news one day, and there was a black man, a young man. He looked to be 17, 18, 19 years old, and he went across the street over there to get into something he didn't have no business being into, and his mama walked over there where he was and got him by the ear and twisted his ear and put him up on his tiptoes and marched him back across to the other corner. We need more mothers, amen, and more fathers that will correct their children. That's a mark of doing that which is right in your own eyes. And then they have a warped sense of worship. Look in chapter 3 or chapter 17, verse 3. And when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver, listen to what mama done to his mother. His mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord. Well, if you stop right there, it sounds like, boy, she's a good mother. I'd wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son. What's this now? To make a graven image and a molten image. Now therefore, I will restore it unto thee. When every man that's doing that was right in his own eyes, there is a warped sense of worship. Amen. And by the way, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. You can go in a lot of quote-unquote churches today, and I'll tell you there is a warped sense of worship. They will tell you what you want to hear. They will tickle your ears. Somebody said, I'm going to go ahead and name names. I saw it, and I saw him say it with his own mouth. Joel Osteen said 99.9% of people, he said, are good people. They've just made bad choices. That's a lie out of hell. Let me tell you what the truth is. 100% of people are bad people. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. If there's anything good about us, it's Him. It's not us. The Apostle Paul said this, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. One of the godliest men that ever walked the face of the earth. He said, in my flesh there's nothing good. 99.9% of the people are good people. I'm telling you, beloved, there might be a crowd that wants to hear that mess. But it's a warped sense of worship. That's what happens when every man, no fear, not the man don't understand that one day he's going to stand before God. They say, well, why don't you preach on sin? Why don't you preach on hell? He said, that's not in my lane. I'm going to tell you, God's going to get in his lane one of these days. Did you hear me? You say, Pastor, you shouldn't say things like this. I'm telling you that it's not just on the street that every man that's doing that which is right in his own eyes. It's in the house of God too. That's why, Brother Dale, you can go in some churches and it sounds like a rock concert. The flesh is being pumped up. I'm telling you, beloved, these are just some of the evidences when every man does that which is right in his own eyes. The next thing I saw in the latter part of chapter number 17 and verse number 3, a graven image and a molten image. Idolatry. Beloved, I'm going to tell you something. You see, you don't have to have some silver and mold it into an image to have an idol. An idol is anything that comes between you and God. Amen. Anything that's more important to you in your life than the things of God. And our land is full of idolatry. There are youngins in our land and adults that can tell you every song that Taylor Swift sings, but they can't tell you one verse of Scripture. Amen. strip off your clothes and get up there, beloved, like she does. I'm telling you, beloved, you say, what, preacher, you got no business talking about these things. Let me tell you something, beloved. Every man's doing that which is right in his own eyes. And it's showing up in America. Worship a football player or a football team. A basketball player or a basketball team. A baseball player or a baseball team. Beloved, I want you to know idolatry is prevalent in the land. Why? Because every man is doing that which is right in his own eyes. A graven image. And then let me give you this. If you'll drop down with me to chapter number 18 and verse number 17. Excuse me, verse number 7. Chapter number 18 and verse number 7. I hope we're paying attention this morning because God wants to speak to our hearts. What happens when every man does that which is right in his own eyes? There's confusion. There's stealing. There's a failure to correct the children. There's a warped idea of worship, a sense of worship. There's idolatry. The next thing in verse number 7. The Bible said, then the five men departed and came to Laish and saw the people that were therein, how they dwelt careless. Did you know, beloved, that our country is full of carelessness? They think, well, so what? You and I better not be thinking like that. We better be praying. Watch this now. There's carelessness. And the manner, after the manner of the Zidonians, quiet and secure. No magistrate in the land that might put them to shame in anything. In other words, beloved, here they are. Watch, listen to what I'm going to say. When there's every man's doing that which is right in his own eyes, there's a false sense of security. Did you hear what I said? That's what it said right here. It said here, quiet and secure. Look over at verse number 27. And they took the things that Micah had made, and the priests which he had, and came unto Laish, unto a people that were at quiet and secure, and they smote them with the edge of the sword, and burned the city with fire. There was a false sense of security. Beloved, I'm going to say something. I really believe what Ronald Reagan said is right, peace through strength. I believe you ought to have a strong military. But I'm going to tell you something, beloved. Our confidence is not to be in our might. Our confidence is to be in our master. Amen. Amen. And I'm not so sure our military is as strong as what she once was. They're concerned with issues. The issues of the day. The woke issues. Amen. They better not woke up. They better wake up. Amen. And realize we have an enemy. It's not time to do what's right in our own eyes. It's time to repent. Yeah, that's right. And do what's right. Amen. In the eyes of the Lord. Yeah. In chapter 18 and verse number, there's a false sense of security. In verse 17 and verse number 18, watch what happens. And the five men that went to spy out the land went up, and they came in thither and took the graven image. Micah had his graven image, the ephod, the teraphim, and the molten image. And the priest stood in the entering of the gate with the 600 men that were appointed with weapons of war. And these went into Micah's house and fetched the carved image, the ephod, and teraphim, and the molten image. And they said to the priest, then said the priest unto them, what do ye? You say, Pastor, what'd you get out of those two verses? We had in the beginning of chapter 17, stealing. You know what you got now? More stealing. They're stealing from the house of Micah, the graven image, and the ephod. Beloved, I'm telling you, beloved, sin leads unto sin, leads unto sin, leads unto sin. The only end of sin is the cross of Calvary. Amen. The only end of sin is the man coming to a place where he says, it's not time for me to go on doing that which is right in mine own eyes. It's time to do what's right in the eyes of God.
Amen. Amen.
Sin How many is glad where sin abounded, grace did much more abound? Amen. More stealing. Verse number 19 and 20. Here's a mark of when every man does that which is right in his own eyes. Listen to me carefully right here. Let's read it together. Verse 19 and 20. And they said unto him, now they're saying this to the priest that Micah hired for his own house. They said, hold thy peace, lay thine hand upon thy mouth. By the way, I'm just going to stop right there and tell you this. One of the reasons we're in the shape we're in is too many of God's people have held their peace. They shut up when they should have spoke up. Hold your peace. Lay thine hand upon thy mouth. Go with us and be to us a father and a priest. Watch this now. It is better for thee to be a priest. Is it better? Is it better for thee to be a priest unto the house of one man, or that thou be a priest unto a tribe and a family in Israel? Let me just tell you this. This priest, he's kind of a religious man. It reminds me of a lot of preachers, Brother Chris. Is it better for you to stay there with 10 people when we've got 150 over here that you could pastor? By the way, beloved, it goes on every day. Pastors just using churches as a stepping stone to get somewhere else. I'm going to tell you, that's not of God. Amen. And what we're seeing right here is there's no loyalty. A man that's worth his salt would have been loyal to Micah. Micah hired him. They come along and said, hey, we got a bunch over here. You going to stay with one when you could come over here with a bunch? He probably figured the offering would go up too. God help. Every man does that which is right in his own eyes. Verse number 20, and the priest's heart was glad. He was glad to do it. And took the ephod and the teraphim, the graven image, and went in the midst of the people. No loyalty. I'm going to make a statement. You can get mad if you want to. But we've got a mess in Washington, D.C. One of the reasons is this. People are not loyal to their constituents. They're supposed to be representing the people. And they'll act like they're going to. Not all, but many of them. Until they get in office. I believe with all of my heart, the reason there's such division is there's nobody coming together trying to find the mind of God about anything. There would be no division about standing with Israel if they'd read this book. They'd just read this book. There'd be no division. I like what Israel did this week, don't you? They let them know. We stopped you, but you can't stop us. Keep shooting over this way. Amen. I like it.
Amen.
I'm not going to protest against Israel ever.
Amen.
I done read the book. I done read the last chapter in the book.
Right.
I know what's coming in the tribulation hour upon the people of God. But I know this. I want God's blessings on my life.
Amen.
I'm not standing against them. I'm standing with them.
Amen.
What happens next, Pastor? Well, look at verse 18, or chapter 18, verse 30 and 31. This is what happens when every man does that which is right in his own eyes. Verse 30 and 31, and the children of Dan set up the graven image. And Jonathan, the son of Gershom, the son of Manasseh, he and his sons were priests to the tribe of Dan until the day of the captivity of the land. And they set them up Micah's graven image, which he made, all the time that he was in the house of God, that the house of God was in Shiloh. Here's what I wrote down right there. More idolatry. You know what idolatry leads to? More idolatry. Now there's a different group of people that's got the graven image. And they're just worshiping idols once again. I don't know about you this morning, but I thank my God. The Bible said the Father seeketh such to worship Him, for they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
If worship gets outside of this book, listen to this statement I'm going to tell you, just come to me. It's not of God.
Amen.
God stays in the bounds of the book. The Spirit of God led me. Show it to me in the book. If it's contrary to what the book says, the Spirit of God didn't lead you. Jesus said, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth.
Amen.
When Jesus prayed, He said, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth.
Amen.
Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. This book is the written truth of God. Jesus is the living truth.
Amen.
Amen of our God. I see more idolatry. Let me close with this. There's a lot more to say, believe me. We'll come back to it at a later time. When every man does that which is right in his own eyes, and I mean this, what I'm going to say, I want you to examine it. Look at chapter 17 and verse number 6, would you please? Chapter 17, we've already read it. It says, in those days there was no king in Israel. Would you look with me, please, at chapter 18 and verse number 1. In those days there was no king in Israel. Look at it with me in chapter 19 and verse number 1. And it came to pass in those days when there was no king in Israel. Look at me, please, at chapter 21 and verse number 25. The Bible said, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Here's the last thing I want to speak to your heart about this morning. There was a lack of leadership. When every man is doing that which is right in his own eyes, there is a lack of leadership. There's no king in Israel. And beloved, I mean what I'm about to say. We have no leadership in this country.
Amen.
Leaders do what's right regardless of where the chips fall.
Amen.
We need leadership.
Amen.
When every man's doing that which is right in his own eyes.
Yep.
Let me just say some things here quickly and I'm done. Miss Eve's not here, so I can be done. If she was here, I'd have to be finished. Our country needs a leader.
Yeah.
Now listen to what I'm about to say, because a lot of people's never figured this out. Every church needs a leader. Every home needs a leader. Every man needs a leader. God said, I'm going to put the man as the head of the house. You say, boy, I like that. You better take the rest of it. I'm going to put Christ as the head of the man.
Amen.
And when every man is doing that which is right in his own eyes, listen to me carefully, the country lacks a leader, the church lacks a leader, the house, the home lacks a leader. Am I right? And every man lacks a leader, because if he had a leader, he wouldn't be doing that which is right in his own eyes. He'd be doing that which is right in the eyes of the Lord.
Amen.
It's amazing to me, Brother Gary, that you can take an Old Testament passage and look at what's going on today. Right here. Now listen to me. I don't want you to get the idea that I don't love America, because I do. But I'm going to tell you, America's hope is not in our might. America's hope is in our Master.
Amen.
The mighty God.
Amen.
Not by might, not by power, Brother Chris, when we're praying for revival, but by my Spirit,
amen,
saith the Lord.
Yeah.
When revival comes, there won't be anybody looking to do that which is right in their own eyes. Everybody will join together and want to do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord.
Amen.
I'm concerned. I'm very concerned. My race is about run. I mean that. Some of you all think I'm young, but I know my body. I'm concerned about our little ones. If we continue as a country to do that which is right in our own eyes. How many are here today that 20 years ago you would have never imagined the fire in the cities and the stealing in the cities, and you would have never imagined taking over bridges? Amen. We had enough moms and dads say amen with a good old-fashioned belt. I remember coming to Virginia when I was a kid and getting around my first cousins. It's hard to meet somebody meaner than I was, but they're meaner than I was. They taught me that police officer should be called a pig. I did that once. Daddy heard me. Did y'all get that? Just once. There's an old gospel song that says, once was enough. I did that once. I said, look going yonder, Daddy, there goes one of them pigs. He said, what did you say, son? He put a stop to it. When I was a teenager, I wanted rock and roll posters like my cousin. I wanted strobe lights in my bedroom and black lights. I wanted to paint the walls black. Daddy said, no, sir, son. No, sir. You know what about my daddy that I really liked? When he said something, he meant it. He didn't say anything with a question mark. Do you think we ought to do that, son? No. No, son. No. But Daddy Eddie, I don't care what Eddie's doing. That's what he'd say. He wasn't talking about that in back yonder now. He was talking about my first cousin Eddie. Amen. And I wanted to do this and I wanted to do that. And thank God for a dad. I got into enough that Daddy didn't know about and Mama didn't know about, but you sure didn't get into it with their sanctioning. Amen. Thank God for my parents. Thank God. There come a day in my life when I saw myself exactly the way God saw me. An old sinner in need of a Savior. You know what the Lord did when I come to Him that night? Ask Him to forgive me. He saved me. I've not always done right since that night. But I'll tell you this. I've always had sense enough to know what was important is not right. What's right in my own eyes. But what's right in the eyes of God. That's why when you do wrong as a Christian, it bothers you. Amen. You say, well, I do wrong and it don't bother me. You need to come meet Jesus. I like what Brother Billy Mitchell said. I like a lot of things he said. But that statement he made, he said, if you've ever repented, you're still repenting. And I like that statement, amen. Because when you get saved, you're perfect on the inside. But honey, he's still working on the outside, amen. The outside don't always line up with the inside. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. How many will go home and read the rest of that book, the book of Judges? We'll come back to it. It'll bless you. Look at what's happening. Parallel it with what's going on today. I'm telling you, beloved. The Bible said that God would give them a judge. They would live right. The judge would die. They would go right back to their idolatry. Let me say something to you real quickly. I'm done. Finished again. Let's not be too critical of the people in the Old Testament. You say, why, preacher? Brother Wayne, we have something that they didn't have. When you and I got saved, yeah, we do have the Bible, but we have the Spirit of God, brother, that He don't just come upon us and leave and come upon us and leave the way He anointed men in the Old Testament. Honey, He comes upon us and stays.
Amen.
Seals us.
Yeah.
Till the day of redemption.
That's right.
You know what we are? We're without excuse.
That's right.
We've got the Scripture.
Amen.
We've got the Spirit. We've got the saints of God to help us along the way.
Amen.
We're without excuse.
Yeah. That's right.
We've got a Savior. Said, I'll go with you all the way.
Amen.
Even to the end of the world. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege to come in your presence. Thank you, God, for your people. Lord, thank you for showing us in the Scripture what happens when every man does that which is right in his own eyes. Would you help us today, Lord, to understand it's not time to play, it's time to pray. We need your power. The only way this ship will ever be turned around is for God to turn it. Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name to help us today.